Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, in the Green Scene today, the effect of climate change on diseases and medicines, but first, the crafty art of greenwashing. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So, definition of greenwashing.
So greenwashing is making false or misleading statements about the environmental benefit or the kind of green credentials of a product. And unfortunately, it's something that is now rife. And regulators are trying to think about how to crack down on this, but it's incredibly difficult. So I think science is going to help us here. And this is work that's been done actually here in UCD by Professor Andreas Hoppner, and he leads a Greenwatch team in UCD. And they've been employing very sophisticated AI to try and find out how these companies are trying to mislead us.
And they've categorised the ways in which this greenwashing can occur.
So the first thing is kind of obvious. It's misleading information. So this is just really saying something that maybe stretches the truth. But the sort of nuance here is that sometimes companies don't do it themselves, but they might get an apparently independent third party to validate these claims. So we really need to have our antenna up. And it is exhausting constantly looking at
this
stuff.
So they could get someone to do a survey and they're paid to do it. So the result that they get will be the result that the company wants.
Potentially.
And then they can say five out of every six customers love X.
Exactly. But you have to read the small print to know they only spoke to 20 people or you know, that the survey wasn't very robust.
Now, another thing is attention deflection strategy. What's that?
Yeah, so this is very clever, where they sort of deflect the blame onto the consumer, for example. So they talk about a product like, we're giving you what you want. So this sort of puts the blame kind of on the customer rather than on the company themselves. Or they might just talk about one product line that they have that does have good green credentials, but not talk about anything else that they're doing. So they might say, look, we LED lights at our headquarters. We're not using any energy anymore, but that's got nothing to do with the entire rest of their supply chain.
Yeah, well, the factory is burning carbon to beat the band.
Exactly.
While they have LEDs in HQ.
Exactly, that kind of thing.
Now, absolute attention reduction.
So here it's just not giving people information or just sort of making grand sounding statements with no detail behind them or no data when anybody goes to look. And of course, this is a problem. Anyone can do this. And until you scratch the surface, you won't get found out. And many companies,
you could say something like, we will be zero carbon by 2040.
Exactly.
And sure, that's a long time
away. It sounds
away.
Great. And how can anyone really validate that?
Now, green crowding, what's that one?
So green crowding, this is kind of, again, back putting this back on the consumer, because, I mean, carbon offsets is one way that companies sort of try to say we're being green. And I mean, one thing they might do is that they just use a very suboptimal method of doing that, but they might get found out. Someone might come along and go, that's not a great method. But if an industry all uses broadly the same method, you're kind of safe in the crowd. You're hidden in there. It's much harder for somebody to poke at you. And of course, you're also kind of taking away people power, because one way is consumers can vote with their pocket. You can say, well, I'll pay for a service from company X, but not company Y. But if they're all doing the same thing, it kind of takes that power away from consumers.
Now, there's a thing called attention timing.
So this is also very clever. And here companies might wait. They make green disclosure. So, for example, they might talk about their real carbon footprint, but time it after the fiscal year. So they don't have to do it before, you know, accounts
so
are given to the shareholders.
That.
Exactly. That's happened. And then they release it afterwards. Or, you know, they might just, you know, release a report that, you know, says they're going to do something and even claims that it's happening. But then they publish, you know, a change of plan on their website a month later. But nobody remembers that bit. So these are all pretty tricky things to keep spotting.
Yeah, you can see why they need maybe AI to get to the bottom of it. And then there are practices that we can look out for ourselves.
Exactly. So I mean, this idea, if you're just seeing suggestive images that give a kind of general green impression, as you said, we're aiming to be carbon neutral by 2040, you kind of need to look beyond that and say, well, what are you actually doing? I mean, that lack of clarity is really important. So if you're not seeing absolute clear definitive statements that you think could be checked, a company's probably not doing what they say they're going to doing. And again, this idea of someone focusing on just one small green thing, so like reducing the carbon emission on one small thing, but they're ramping up production in every other area and you know their profits are going through the roof. So
and then use the terms like eco-friendly. What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything. So there's a lot of terms out there. I mean, even the term green itself doesn't really mean anything. So I think we need to get down to absolutes when we're getting companies to talk to us. And that's where the regulator is going to need AI to really help us.
And there's a site you recommend we visit?
Good On You is a great site if you want to look at the impact that brands have on people, on the climate, on environment. And it's particularly good for people to check.
I went
brands.
On it last night to look at trainers, for example, you know. And there was only Puma, I think, were in there, but all the rest I'd never heard of.
Yeah, well, there's a few, but there's lots of up-and-coming brands now who are doing great things in sustainable clothing. So it does take a bit more work, though.
Okay, the second topic is the impact of climate change on diseases and medicines. Two separate things going on here.
Yeah, and this is a really, really interesting study that was published in Nature, and it's a meta-analysis. So it takes a lot of different studies and puts them together. And what these researchers tried to do, they took 1,000 data sets where there was some report about how a disease had moved around and how successful really the pathogen had been. And they looked at human diseases, but also plant and animal diseases. And they were able to find information about the impact of a number of different factors. So they did look at climate change and changing temperatures, but they also looked at chemical pollution. They looked at invasive species. They looked at biodiversity loss and habitat loss. And actually what they found might surprise you, because they found that all of those factors drove an increasing burden of disease, except for one, which was habitat loss, which is interesting. But the biggest driver, more than climate change, was biodiversity loss. And that might seem quite counterintuitive, because we all remember the bat in Wuhan, and we might think, well, lots of biodiversity might store lots of pathogens and disease. But in fact, that's not what's happening.
What is happening? I mean, if you're destroying the rainforest, you're destroying plants and maybe animals that might provide cures for us.
Yeah, I mean, that will also happen. But really, what we're doing is these animals are acting as brakes as pathogens move through. So we might be destroying some of the intermediate hosts that might stop diseases moving into humans. So it's a very complicated area, but we're also stopping kind of a diffusion effect. You imagine if a particular mouse runs rampant like the white-tailed mouse and it carries Lyme disease. Suddenly, if that mouse, all of its other predators are gone, we're going to have much more Lyme disease. So it's a complex area, but it's definitely one that we need to keep an eye on.
And in terms of global warming, increasing temperatures, is that an accelerant for disease?
Absolutely, it is as well. I mean, we see things like malaria moving into Europe with warmer temperatures. And as you mentioned, we're going to lose things like plants that may hold the medicines of the future for us. And medicines come from all places in nature, you know. So we need to keep an eye on it.
Fascinating stuff. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland. Thank you very much.